Welcome to the third episode of the 10% Club. This week's show, we're talking about the agents platform and the new rules coming in. And with me is an old friend of mine, Pat Dean, who I've known for over 20 years and is one of the leading agents in football as it stands. So, Pat, let's firstly talk about the fact that FIFA in 2015 deregulated the agents platform, which was very unusual. People who were already agents knew that this was a disastrous decision that was going to have consequences. And from your point of view, why did they deregulate the agents platform?
There was no governance or compliance, so it allowed unregistered agents to get involved in deals. There was no sort of regulations telling clubs that they can only deal with regulated FIFA agents. They made the entry to become a FIFA agent very high. You had to be the exam that they had from 2008 onwards was a very hard exam to pass. You needed to study. It was like 400 or 500 pages of rules and regulations, and people were getting around it. And I think their thought process was, it's too hard to govern, too hard to regulate. So we'll let the national associations of each country make their own mind up. And as you know, there were some countries that made it very difficult, and there were some countries that made it very easy to become an agent.
Yeah. So. FIFA deregulating the agents platform was all to do with the amount of unlicensed agents that were getting involved in deals, and the licensed agents were getting upset. There were arbitrations, there were so many complaints made to FIFA that FIFA decided to deregulate the platform, and the repercussion of that was thousands of new agents that didn't necessarily know the rules, didn't know the landscape, didn't know the moral grounds on which to represent someone, and it caused a major problem, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, because a lot of these agents had never done a deal, never negotiated a contract with the club. A lot of inexperience shown through on some of the players' contracts that were done, a few horror stories that were out there. But the numbers just, you know, I think from 400 in 2015 in the UK to now, as we speak, there's before regulation comes in 1st of October, I think there's over 2,700 agents.
Yeah, I mean, the school of thought amongst people from outside the agents platform was, oh, this is easy. You just convince a player to let you do the deal. You do the deal. But what they didn't realise was that that is affecting football. It's affecting the advice footballers get. When people complain about agents, they're complaining about the agent that give the players the bad advice. And the agent's platform being deregulated had no quality control. The only prerequisite was that you didn't have a criminal record, which doesn't say that you're going to be a good agent.
No. And you know, the football is full of rules, you know, and the rules are ever changing as well. And there was no sort of like thought process into keeping the agents up to speed with the new rules and regulations that FIFA come out with every couple of years. So with the new rules that are coming in from the 1st of October, a big emphasis is on continual professional development, which is to make sure that even if the players have passed the exam, that they continue to keep up to speed with the ever-changing rules and regulations in the agency and transfer world.
Yeah, it just seems crazy that there wasn't a requirement to understand the rules, and then the governing bodies are penalising people for not knowing the rules when there isn't a pre-requirement. And as you said, each governing body had the responsibility to deal with the agents that were regulated and the agents that were allowed to be registered. And as you say, there were some countries where it was impossible. In Switzerland, you had to be a company registered in Switzerland. In France, you had to jump through all sorts of hoops.
Yeah, and Italy as well.
In Italy as well. But in England, You know, you just had to pay your fee and not be a criminal, and you was good to go. So looking forward now, let's talk about these new rules. One of the big things that's coming again, but was in before 2008, is the exam. And what looking into it, it seems that the exam is going to be a lot tougher than how it was in 2008.
I don't think so. I think it's, if anything, they're going to make it slightly. I think the last fail rate on the last exam was 92%. I think it's going to be more like 80% coming in. It's not going to be easy. They're making it open book so you can bring the book in. I do think that can have, if people get complacent about the fact, oh, I can bring the book in with me, because it's 500 pages. It's 500 pages of rules and regulations. So I think it can't be an exam that you can, that you don't give it the respect that it deserves. It will be an hour long exam. It'll be 20 multiple choice questions. And that you have to have 75% to pass.
Yeah, and on my mentoring course that I do with SMWW, we discussed it last Wednesday, and one of the things we were discussing is consolidarity payments, which a lot of people don't know about. And even license agents, so-called license money, for wanting a better terminology, don't know what happens with consolidarity payments. So there are so many different aspects of the game that a lot of people are not going to know. So I think it's going to be very difficult to pass.
Yeah. Like I said, if an agent revises, puts plenty of time aside to study it, you know, and walks into it with knowing that it's going to be a tough exam, they're not leaving it to the last minute to, you know, get up to speed, then they've got half a chance of passing. The good thing about, there is two exams, so if they haven't passed the first one, they've got a chance to pass the second one in September.
So there's one in April and there's one in September, is that correct?
One on the 19th of April and one in September. So I do think then there'll be a few people who will probably give the September exam a bit more respect than they probably did the April one, you know, because come the 1st of October, if you haven't passed the exam and you haven't got, or you haven't previously passed the exam or previously been a FIFA licensed agent, then you're no longer allowed to trade as an agent.
And the key thing to say here is that there are no exemptions. So mum, dad, brother, uncle, they're all going to take the exams.
Yeah, under the old rules, pre-2015, family members could represent the player, solicitors could represent the player, and it didn't matter which country that they got their law degree in. But that's all gone. So it's now even solicitors or family members who want to continue to be the agent for their family member, they have to go and do the exam. There's no exemptions.
So what we have at the moment in football is there are a lot of family members representing top players.
Yeah.
Dads, mums, sisters, brothers. So what's going to happen to them, Pat? What's going to be the repercussion to them?
The repercussions is they have to take the exam, and if they don't, they can't be a shadow agent. They can't be the person doing the negotiating, because on one of the webinars I was on, the FIFA said it was clubs will get sanctioned if they were ever found out to be dealing with shadow agents, people who aren't legally authorized by FIFA themselves. So they are bringing in this regulation. So the family members will have to either hand over the reins to a qualified FIFA agent. But in terms of negotiating with the contract, they can't be involved. It will have to be the agent talking directly to the clubs.
Because when you look at the England team, when you look at the England squad that was in Qatar, half the players are represented by a family member or effectively representing themselves. You've got Mason Mount, you've got Declan Rice, you've got Marcus Rashford, you've got Raheem Sterling, Harry Kane.
You know, so
what you're saying is that this situation with the exam is going to affect the how these players have people around them. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So this affects the football side of their business, because those names that you stated are all commercial, big commercial entities. But there's nothing stopping the family members still, you know, negotiating the fashion deals and the advertising and the stuff like that. But when it comes to football, it's going to be heavily regulated. So they will have to either appoint somebody to be the football negotiator and who looks after the football side of the contracts, or they have to pass the exams. It's as simple as that.
I mean, it seems a major shift in football, because we were heading towards more and more players having family members looking after them, and more players, for instance, using solicitors. So for people like me and you, to be clear, me and you are both legacy agents, because we were registered before 2015.
Correct, So
it seems that these new rules, and with the exams coming in, is going to be beneficial to legacy agents.
Absolutely. It's the respect bit has come back, I think, because you know and I know, once you had passed the exams or you've been in the business, when you were talking to clubs, the respect level was very high. And what I noticed after 2015, because, you know, these directors of footballs were all of a sudden inundated by intermediaries who they'd never had any dealings with, and representing a whole load of different players, all contacting them. And I just found that the clubs didn't respect the intermediaries like they used to, the FIFA qualified agents. It was because they knew they were in that industry. They knew how hard it was to become a FIFA agent. So hopefully, again, with continual professional development on board with the on the exam side of things, because it's not just the exam. You've got to do 40 hours DPD every year, and it doesn't sound a lot, but if you don't structure it properly, it could catch up with you if you don't. And this will all be documented. And the parents would have to do that if they did pass the exam. But there's no exemption. They will still have to do their CPD, you know. So it's a whole different ball game. I think the players are going to benefit dramatically, because they will have a situation where their agent goes in and they know what they're talking about. Whereas at the moment, if somebody's just starting in the business, you know, and I know, I'm 57, Sky, we're still learning every day, you know, even with all the experience that we've both got.
And CPD, can you tell everyone listening what that means?
It's continuous professional development. So basically, your training doesn't stop when you pass your exam. The rules and regulations, solicitors have to do it, accountants have to do it, financial advisors have to do it. To maintain their license, you've got to prove that you're still devoting, you know, some industries it's 20 hours a year, some industries it's 50 hours a year. With legacy agents like myself and yourself, we have to do 40 hours every year, not just one year, every year. And it's all documented on the FIFA agents platform.
And the again, you know, to say that that's going to have an impact is an understatement, because a lot of people that have just registered because they wanted to be an agent, they'll have to weigh up whether or not they want to pay the fee to FIFA and the fee to their governing bodies. Now, the fee to FIFA is going to be what, $600 a year?
$600 a year, yeah.
Right. And there's talk of people within a certain territory still having to pay a fee to their governing body.
Yeah, that could happen. The FA have, you still have to pay your fee between now and the 30th of September before the, you know, so I think the only exception they stated they'll give is if somebody's renewal is due up in September, they'll get half their money back, or they will only charge half the money, even though their license is only going to last for 30 days.
Something else which is really controversial is this 3%, which has been challenged by agents all over the world.
Yeah.
What's the thought behind FIFA trying to cap what you earn from negotiating a player's contract to 3%?
I think they've taken that model. If the contacts I have who are sort of fairly close to FIFA from the NBA in America. In America, they've got a limit on. I think there's only 50 or 48 agents who are doing basketball in America, and they all have to comply with that. They don't call it commission; they call it a service fee. And guess what? That's what FIFA are calling. So it's probably identical to that, which, you know, it takes away the sort of like the free competitive industry that in the UK and in Europe we're all used to. You negotiate your own fee. So, you know, there are going to be different arguments on that. I think the reason they came down on that was because of the Paul Pogba very highly publicized, a massive amount of commission that got taken out of that deal, reported to be 32 million out of a 75 million pound transfer. And I just think they said enough's enough. That was my understanding of it.
So let's get into the meat and bones of this. FIFA have got this figure of $200,000.
Yep.
And no one knows where they got this figure from. So what they're saying is under 200,000, you can get 5% or even 10% under dual representation, but over $200,000, it's 3% across the board when you negotiate a player's contract. Surely that is not encouraging for agents to represent players.
Yeah, so basically, it's 5% maximum on behalf of the player, 5% maximum on behalf of the club, up to $200,000. Thereafter, it's 3% on behalf of the club and 3% on behalf of the player. That's the new service fee. That's what they're talking about. So let's get used to their terminology. The service fee would be capped at 6% on anything above the $200,000. Okay. So I would say the bigger agents are going to go for the where they, if they represent the club on the selling side of it. They somehow come out and surprise everybody by allowing 10% of the transfer fee to be the agent's service fee.
Right, so let's talk about that, Pat. Let's talk about representing what the terminology FIFA are using is the selling entity. So
correct.
If you represent the selling entity, you can get 10% of the transfer fee.
Correct.
So why should the so-called big agents and big agencies have any incentive to represent the player? Surely, when they look at the landscape of the new rules,
yeah,
way to make the most money is to represent the selling entity, which is the selling club, and get 10% of the transfer fee.
Absolutely. And that is going to be, there's another sort of elephant in the room as well, which we'll speak about in a minute. But and that's how the commission from the player is going to be paid directly from the player. So let's talk about that in a minute. But you're right. I think there's going to be the so-called super agents, the big, very well-known publicized agents. I think they're going to be sitting there going, "Do you know what? This is a model that we need to." Use our influence on the clubs. We all know that Mendes and a few of the clubs that he has a massive influence at, you know, he cannot now represent the player for the selling club, the buying club, and of course the players' negotiation because it's a massive conflict of interest.
They can only represent one entity.
He can represent the buying club and the player, or he can represent the selling club alone.
Well, let's talk about the buying club, which is termed as the buying entity. So what FIFA is saying is that if you are representing the buying entity, you can do due representation, which means you can get 10% under $200,000 and 6% above $200,000.
Yeah, as long as a player agrees,
yeah, as long as the player agrees. So by representing the buying entity, you can represent the player and the club and get, the most you can get is 6% above $200,000.
Correct, yeah. That's absolutely accurate, yeah.
Which, so if we look at the three scenarios, so we've got the selling entity where you can get 10% of the transfer fee. You've got just representing the player where you can only get 3% above $200,000. And then the third one being, the third option being representing the buying entity where you can do dual representation and you can get maximum of 6% over $200,000.
Yeah.
And then obviously below to 200,000, you can get up to 10%.
Correct.
Dual rep.
Yeah.
What's going to happen, Pat? You know, what are agents going to do? Because we know that FIFA are stopping upfront payments as well. And we know that a lot of the bigger agencies have got massive upfront payments. A lot of people know the much publicized Raiola, Pogba, Man United deal. But there are many deals all over the world where agents are getting hefty sums of money structured in a way which a lot of people wouldn't necessarily agree with by getting it all up front or getting it all in two payments. What's going to happen, Pat?
Right. Well, it's through the course of the contract. So if the player is, once the window closes, 3 months after that, the player has to pay a quarter of his money due that month. The club then will pay a quarter after 3 months. So it's definitely on the drip. Whereas the guy who's done the 10% will get it paid once the club receives the money. And he gets it. There's no waiting every 3 months. There's no awkward conversations with the player every 3 months. Oh, by the way, we sent you another invoice. So I think a lot of the big agents are going to have to, because they have massive overheads. They're geared to earning the big commissions, which, you know, and they have done that over the last decade. And unfortunately now going forward, the big agents will have to reevaluate their cash flow, really, because I think the like you said, it's illegal now to get paid up front from the club. You won't be able to get it. You won't be, and I think the logic on that is a lot of players that went to a club, the agent got paid all his money up front. The player ended up with a very big tax bill for the personal services side of that. And then a year later, the player was moved on to another club. So again, FIFA just said they had enough.
So, Pat, what about clubs paying on behalf of the player and it going on the player's P11D? And then the
player, as it does at the moment.
As it does at the moment. So a club's still going to be able to do that after October the 1st?
No, no. They can only pay their side of the fee, which isn't... because it's not a service to the player. There's no P11D benefit. So the players have to pay their commission outside of their net pay that they receive, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to be a different ball game.
I mean, that is a massive change in itself.
It's going to be...
We know that players don't pay agents. You know, over the years, you know, it's developed into this sort of drawn out situation where agents don't want to speak to players about paying the money. Players think that they're not paying agents because the club is paying it. And in effect, anything an agent gets is coming from the player anyway, in terms of if the club pays it and says it's going on your P11D. So there has to be a shift in the mindset of footballers.
Correct. There's no hiding the commissions anymore. When they write the check out, every 3 months, they're going to have a conversation with their agent. Are you earning this? It might be okay for the first few quarters, but after a while, and you, Sky, and I know, the older players who feel that they don't need to have as much help and assistance like we help, it's going to be a different ball game. And I think that a lot of the older players with maybe 1 or 2 years, 1 or 2 contracts left at the end of their career, they're going to start haggling.
So effectively, what you're saying is that the older players that don't have a transfer value, because then the agent can't say, I'm going to represent the selling entity and get 10%, because that doesn't happen, right? So then the older players, the experienced players without a transfer value, will start representing themselves, correct?
I think there'd be an element of that because either that or they'll haggle, they'll do a deal. It's a funny one because we're assuming the players have had a nice easy life and they haven't gone through a divorce and they haven't gone through a gambling addiction or something like that. Because again, through experience, Guy, myself and yourself have known many a player who got to the age of 31, 32, and they are desperate to keep playing because they've like I said, gone through a divorce or they had gambling issues and the money's not there and they need to get another. Maybe the body is sort of like giving up on them, but the mind, they still want to play because they still want to earn that money. But then if you put a different dynamic in there, oh, by the way, you're going to have to pay me 3% of what you've earned. Now, absolutely, some will, but there'll be 1 or 2 that will, think, I ain't paying, and that's here lies the problem. So, do they self-represent, or how does it work?
I've got a theory, Pat, that this summer 2023, is going to be the highest grossing transfer window of all time, because agencies are going to look at the current situation and think, we have got this one window to do certain deals and to get paid in the way we want to get paid. And so they will be pushing clients that are anywhere near a deal, clients that are anywhere near a transfer, will find themselves being transferred, renegotiations of new deals. If you've got a player and you do a renegotiation in August for 5 years, you can agree to abide by the rules after October the 1st, but if you get your money
Correct.
up front, you're going to get your money.
And there lies another one as well, because you're assuming that agent who's done the deal is still going to be a registered agent come after the 1st of October, because there is a massive question mark whether they'll get paid if they're not the registered agent.
But we know that agents ask for money up front. And before the rules come in on October the 1st, some of the bigger companies are going to try and do as much deals as possible and get as much up front as possible, because uncharted territory is coming up October the 1st.
But they're then going to risk the wrath of the player if they get all their commissions. If they get a 4 year, 5 year deal up front, and the player has to pay a massive year's P11D benefit in tax, they need to be that needs to be explained to them. Saying, look, you're paying all your benefit now, but you won't have to pay any P11D next year or the year after or the year after. So you have to be really transparent with the client if you're going to play that game.
Yeah. Suffice to say that agents' fees are going to be cut post October the 1st, when the Premier League, for instance, release the quantum of transfer fees paid out to agents. That's going to be cut in half at least.
Listen, you hit the nail on the head. there's going to be a sort of like a slowdown over, say, 24, 25, 25, 26, till eventually we look at those figures come 26, 27, they're going to be a shadow. And that's why FIFA they're pushing an open door at the moment. But the only people objecting is not the clubs, it's the agents, you know, and we don't get much sympathy with the general public anyway. So,
no. And that's because the public are reading back pages, they're reading headlines, they're seeing agents getting 10, 15, 20 million out of deals. And we both know that that's 1% of the agents industry.
Yeah, yeah.
Most agents are earning a reasonable living.
Yeah, and we also know that if you go into, if you look at the clubs, how the clubs would treat the players if they didn't have to deal with an experienced agent in between, because they'd walk all over the player.
No, absolutely. You know? I mean, there's no question that players want representation. My view is that players need to take responsibility and get the best possible representation they can, and to take seriously what their team looks like. If you look at tennis players, you know, they take responsibility. They have the best manager they can get, the best agent. They have everybody around them. And I think that we are going into new territory where footballers are going to start saying, right, I've got to now get the best people I can around me. And parents are going to take part in that as well, especially if the parent doesn't pass the exam. The parent then has to work with the player to say, let's find the best representation. But there's a school of thought that clubs and agents always find a way to do things. When I speak to other agents, they say, yeah, the rules are coming in, but clubs will find a way to pay agents. But I don't think on this occasion, Pat.
No. I think the old scouting fee is going to be... I think if any club starts bending the rules, they're going to be the first to get points deduction. And I'd say FIFA are looking for as many examples in the next couple of years that they're going to... They'll sanction players as well. They're not just... They said the players will be sanctioned for using somebody as well as a club. You know, it's... This is a whole ball game, and the other thing about it is that it's a worldwide license now. So whenever if one of your students, you know, revises, get past the exam, gets into the industry, this is a worldwide license that he'll get from FIFA. He can trade anywhere in the world. You know, that's the massive advantage of the new regulations that, you know, we didn't have before. If you had to, like, I did a player to Sweden. I had to register with the Swedish FA, costing 1,500 euros and plus a lot of rigmarole. So that's one massive, sort of advantage from the new regulations, that the player doesn't have to change agents when he wants to maybe play in a different continent or play in a... His agent can continue through his career. The same guy.
So in short, Pat, summing up, with the new rules coming in, for you, what are the big pluses and what are the big minuses?
I think the clubs will start respecting the agents again. I think come, you know, the conversation that you'll have with a director of football in 24, 25 would be different from the conversation that we had in 21, 22, when you were just another intermediary along with 2,500 other people. I think clubs will respect the player's decision on who they've chosen, because like I said, it's a higher bar to get in. I think players will have, I think they're going to stick with the devil they know, as long as the devil they know has proved his threshold. I think the agencies with massive overheads, I think that's going to be slowly revisited, you know, once that sort of pipeline of pre-October contracts start getting diminished. I think there'll be a lot of consolidation. I think there'll be a lot of independent agents who are now being given a sort of a new lease of life.
A lifeline.
Yeah. You know, older agents like ourselves, I think we'll be in more demand than we would have been before. I think people, if somebody wants to get into this industry, which I absolutely encourage, but they now, it's not an easy road. It's a long road to get into it. So I think that, and I think the CPD, which is the thing that's not going to go away either, and I think that's going to be good for all of us. The global scenario, I think you look at America and they got the World Cup coming up in 2026 in Canada. I think there's going to be a big demand for better quality of players in America. And I think if you know and I know, once a player gets to, you know, they get itchy feet, they want to change is as good as a rest sometimes for a player, you know, and then heading off to Australia or heading off to America to play 4 or 5 years, you know, I think the global aspect of the license is a good thing, you know.
So those are all the positive things. What about the negative side?
The negative side is, you know, we are really going to be the only industry that has a cap on what is allowed to be charged. Estate agents don't have it. You know, legal profession doesn't have it. Barristers don't have it. Accountants don't have it. I think it's wrong. I think there should have been a transition, you know, to get everybody to get their heads adjusted. I think there's going to be a mindset that the players have to realize what they're getting on behalf of the money that they pay, the 3% they pay. I think that's got to have to be explained, re-explained, and continually explained to them. I think the service level that you've got to provide the players, you know, just as a player can't be complacent after, you know, a good 3 or 4 months, they've got to keep it up because somebody, I think the agents have to do that as well. I think
two things, Pat, you know, two things I see here. Number one, the agents that just say, I'm just going to do the deal, and then they don't speak to the player again, that's not going to happen.
No.
They can't just get away with doing that. Secondly, the transparency of the money.
Yeah.
It's going to affect those who are taking money they shouldn't be taking, or they can't justify it.
Yeah.
So, for one, there's going to have to be communication.
Yeah, I think the clubs will educate the players a bit more. I think the PFA will educate the players a little bit more. I think the age of inducements to players are over. Because that was a sort of like an MO for certain agents to, you know, get the players young, hand out a bit of money where they couldn't say no. And I think that's going to be, it's not going to be there anymore because the player's not going to get it handed in one way and then have it to pay it back, you know, on a quarterly basis the next. So listen, it's probably the most exciting time and interesting time for us as agents. But I think for the players, are going to get a lot of benefit from it because they're going to have to be aware of every aspect of their relationship with their agent. They have to know the ins and outs because, you know, like I said, if they have to pay the agent direct, that dynamic hasn't been seen for 10 years.
Pat, it's incredible that world class players haven't had world class advice. It's amazing that so many top players have had people advising them that. I mean, you wouldn't get LeBron James having people around him that can't give him the advice he needs. Players have got to take responsibility and say, I want the best people. Now that everything's going to be transparent and agents' fees at the top level are going to be much more reasonable. They're much more reasonable. The reason why agents get away with paying 10 million, getting paid 10, 15 million is because the players don't know, and the players
and the players
are not being taxed on it or anything like that. But now it's all transparent. It's literally going to make everybody step up their game. When you talk about players getting rewarded by this, they can only be advised by people that either passed the exam or are legacy agents. And as you were talking about the CPD, all agents are going to have to continually develop and improve. And people that love the industry and want to do it properly will want to continually develop and improve. Agents develop and improve, they can give better advice to players. It's something dumbfounding that players allowed themselves to be advised by people that didn't know the rules, didn't know the regs, right? Weren't qualified. So it's good for everybody. If we have qualified people representing players, players taking responsibility for who's around them, players structuring their management team, it can only benefit the game.
I think so. And listen, like I said, you know, the agents have, there are upsides. I think the global license side of it is massive because it gives that player who relies solely on, like you've had players that you looked after all the way through their career, you know, and when they go from association to association, there was a whole lot of red tape. That's all gone. Once you've got your, you know, and what FIFA are doing is coming out with a QR code for all of us. So that QR code gets scanned. It's going to be up to date and it's registered so that the club can't deal with you unless you've got that QR code, you know, and so your player benefits from continual advice all the way through his career. Doesn't have to chop and change, and it's like having the same solicitor, you know. When I go for advice, I ring up the same guy I've known for 30 years, you know. And it's, I think that would enhance it. As long as the dynamics of being told, you know, I've got to be paid and not hide about it, you know, and 3% isn't, you know, I do think there's going to be awkward conversations. I'm not naive, but I do feel that, you know, if they didn't have us going in and negotiating and using all our experience to find that sweet spot of negotiation to get them as much of as we possibly could without jeopardizing the deal, that's definitely worth 3%.
Yeah, getting as much as possible, plus structuring the contract in the right way. And the only way in which a contract can be structured properly is if someone has got the expertise and the knowledge and the experience to do so.
Yeah. And it, listen, you know, like I said, the players, if they didn't have us, it would be, I think, the clubs will just walk all over them, you know. So as an industry, we're going to be around for a long time. But as in all industries, they have to change. And they have to develop and they have to improve. And this is a sort of scenario where I think that the upside of it, you've got, you know, the commission caps, you've got licensing, you've got the you know, the conflict of interest gone with, you know, tri-representation gone. There's going to be a new sort of dispute chambers for people to, if they had grievances, you know. So I think they have put a lot of thought into it. But there is going to be a bit rough with the smooth.
Pat, thank you for coming on.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been enlightening. I'm sure our listeners enjoyed the conversation we've just had. You've been listening to the 10% Club, Episode 3, Agents, the New Rules. Thank you for listening. Join us again on the 10% Club.